from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Postcard from Poprad. It's a bit bizarre this week. Everybody's getting mixed up, but Petra's asking these incredible questions that are impossible to answer. It's like being asked questions by God.
Oh, yeah. So I've got another ready for you.
Go on, then. Okay.
If it is a 50 miles per hour wind and you drive your car at 50 miles per hour downwind, if you stick your head outside, would you feel the wind? That's a long question.
Right. I feel like I'm back in school in math class.
Yeah, no, actually wouldn't, because if you were headed at 50 miles an hour into a 50 mile an hour wind, you wouldn't move. You'd be stuck still.
You would. And then you'd get out of your car 10 minutes later and your face would be frozen in that. In that face.
Yeah, not Jeremy Clarkson, I'm in the wind look face.
Yes, or Jeremy Clarkson just being himself.
Just be careful. I don't know what would happen, Petra. What do you think would happen, Petra, if you did that?
I don't know. I would still feel the wind.
Ah, see, she says I don't know. Why are you asking a question for her?
Because I want to know.
She doesn't mean she has the answers. She wants to know the answers, so she asks the really hard questions. I think you'd still feel the wind. I don't think that you'd be devoid of senses in such a situation.
No, I don't think you'd be devoid of senses. What I think it'd be like moving into another dimension. It'd be like suspended animation. You wouldn't be able to do anything. You could walk around in that little space of where the vortex of 50 miles an hour hits each other, but it'd be like a different world, and it might be silent.
Yeah.
Great, what a lovely place to live, Petra. Shall we move there?
Yeah.
Yes.
While you're moving... Can you describe yourself in three words?
Me? Can I describe me in three words?
Mm-hmm.
Big, gorgeous, sexy.
Okay. Rachel, what about you?
Convict. Descendant. convict descendant. Oh, I don't know. Priceless.
Are you really descended from convicts?
I think so. No, actually, I think we're actually descended from quite well-to-do folks. But I like to think I've got a bit of dirty.
Yeah, you're a convict. Yeah, you're like a bogan. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, bogans are cool. I like them. No, really. And it's not a rude word.
No, it's not. It's not a very flattering word. But
it is if you're a bogan. Bogans actually drive around in Australia. You must admit this is true. Bogans actually drive around in Australia with bogan for their number plates and things like that. They are proud of what they are, and quite rightly so they should be. They are the people who actually are the bedrock of Australia's economic development.
That's true too. It's all about the bogan, and the bogan is actually, you know, the bogan is not to be trifled with, but also not to be feared. They're good, salt of the earth people, and
absolutely.
I mean, you have to question some of their decisions, especially in, you know, with their hairstyles, their fashion, and the cars they drive.
I know. Long live the mullet.
Yeah, that's it. It's business in the front and it's party in the back. And you know, at least you know what you're getting with a bogan. They never conceal.
No, that's right. I met a few while I was over. I got on really well with them. Anyway, let's leave the poor bogans alone.
And, yeah. Next question is: if you could trade your lives with anyone for a day, who would it be and why?
Me.
No.
I'd trade my life with me.
You like your life.
Life, it's been really funny.
Who would I change my? I guess if do you get to be blessed with their talents if you switch with them?
Ooh, there's a good question for you, Petra.
I don't know.
If you do, I'd want to be like, I'd want to swap with somebody really cool, like
Me.
Yes, that's obvious. But if I couldn't get you, I'd like to switch with somebody really brainy but really cool, like Bill Gates or well, not Steve Jobs, because he's not.
Stephen Hawking.
But do you actually like the brain about the Bill Gates, or you want his money?
I want to be in the brain of somebody else for a day. I don't want to be somebody else for a day. I want to be in their brain.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to be a woman for a day.
Oh.
Would you?
Rachel, if he was a woman for a day, then we would make that day really hard for him, wouldn't we?
I'd do the washing up. I'd do the cleaning.
I would want to pick the actual day that this occurred, so I can't say what I'm going to say, so I won't.
No, if I was a woman for the day, in all honesty, this is what I'd do. I would do the washing up, I'd do the tidying up, I'd do the cleaning up.
You don't need to be a woman to do this.
No, and then I'd make breakfast, I'd look after everybody, I'd make sure everybody was happy, I'd look good, I'd make myself pretty and happy, and I'd wear my best dress and have my hair done, and I'd have makeup on before anybody ever saw me in the morning. That's it. The first thing I'd do is put makeup on. And then, you know what I'd do? I'd go out and I'd change the wheel on the car outside, I'd check the oil, and I'd go and build the wall.
I would be
the complete human being. I would not have this barrier between male and female, where women can only do one thing and men can do the other. I would be an emancipated woman.
That's fantastic.
See? Yeah, I am an emancipated woman. What are you, a manly man, Rachel?
Well, yes. Well, I don't, you know what? I don't do the girly frocks and hair and makeup stuff every single day. No, I have no reason to. And in Darwin, you really can't.
You've got Rob. You should do it for Rob.
Ta-da. No, in Darwin, you can't, because it is so hot. If you put makeup on your face, in 20 minutes, you look like Alice Cooper. It really is.
Not a bad look. He's got bionic.
Yeah, it works for him. It doesn't work for me. I just look scary and like I should be locked up and put on a Thorazine drip. So it's really not a good look. And you wear whatever's comfortable that you can just bear walking around horrible sticky heat. You just get by. You really do. All your dignity goes out the window. I've got really, really long hair.
Oh, yeah.
And since we moved to Darwin, I can honestly tell you I have not worn it down one single day.
That's the truth. You know, I've got really long hair, and I didn't wear it down in Australia. But I didn't.
It's
when I went out.
It's because of your long hair. You know, nobody wants to see you, and you would like to be invisible. And yes. Where would you go if you were invisible?
Is this another question, or is this another
question?
Where would I go? You see, there's the childish answer that every man, in all honesty, would give, and that would be the changing rooms. It's a female gym.
That's boring. My son done it when he was 5 or so.
He did it. What? He became invisible and went around the changing room.
No. It was funny because we were in one of the shops, and he went into the changing room, and he lied down on the floor, and he was looking from underneath into another changing room where the girls were changing their clothes.
Yay!
Yeah, good on him. Good
luck. What a legend. We love him. If I was invisible for a day, I'd just want to walk into rooms where people were having really private conversations and just listen.
Nosy.
Yeah. I really would. That's what are they talking about? Ooh, what are they talking about? What are they talking about? Oh, do you know what I'd do? I'd go somewhere where you can get really good stock tips or something.
Yeah.
And listen quietly as an invisible person. And then when I'm visible again, I'd go and put some money down on some stock, insider trading.
Good idea. That's good. See, actually, it was funny because just before you said that, I was thinking, well, the other place I'd go would be like a bank or somewhere, and I'd just freak everybody out as this bag of money just walks out in like suspended in midair.
So, I'd freak people out. That'd be fun, and it could be anywhere. Like I'd go to the supermarket and start tipping cans off shelves and just, you know, make people have a poltergeist hearing
it. Yeah. And if just going back to your previous question, where you're saying, like, you're being chased by the police, what would you do? Well, if you're invisible and you just nicked a bag of money from a bank, what you could actually do is get inside the bag of money and they'd never be able to find you because they'd never see you.
That's true. You have to be bloody.
Lee, nice. do you have a favorite song?
I have loads of favorite songs. My favorite song is
Don't say it. that was easy yes or no question. And do you have a song that reminds you of a relationship?
Who are you asking?
You.
Me? Do I have a song that reminds me of a relationship? Yes.
And what song is it?
I'm not telling you something. Shut up on the last one.
No. But now I'm asking.
The song that makes me think of a relationship. I had a girlfriend, and for all sorts of reasons, she was known a name to the hoi polloi was Boom. She was known as Boom, and I'm not saying anything about banging and stuff like that. She was just known as Boom, and she had like her last name was just bizarre. It was like Rang, and the song that always makes me think of her is My Boomerang Won't Come Back.
That's brilliant.
And Rachel, what about you?
I do have a favorite. My first love was when I was in high school, in my last year of high school, and I went out with the lead singer of the band of which I was a backing vocalist.
Yeah.
And we used to do a song together,
right,
called Waiting for the Heartache by Jimmy Barnes from Cold Chisel. And we used to sing that song together in the band, and every time I hear it, I think of him.
Oh, that's dead sweet. Petra, as you are MC for the night, you must now ask Rachel to give us a rendition of that song so we know what it is that she's talking about. Not because we wish to listen to Rachel singing or making a fool of herself, but because we need a point of reference.
Okay, you just asked her.
Oh, all right then, Rachel.
I will politely decline because our listeners don't need to hear that. And with me at 10 o'clock at night, all phlegmy and disgusting, I don't think so.
I'll sing My Boomerang Won't Come Back.
No, you don't.
I do.
Everybody can go on YouTube and have a look. Go on YouTube and have a look for Jimmy Barnes, Waiting for the Heartache. That's the song.
I think I know it. That's it. Just do the opening line.
Hard as a rock, you made your heart. Can't remember the lyrics, and it goes like that.
That was beautiful.
It was.
It was. Honestly, I was quite moved.
Thank you very much.
You know, when I was asking about three words describing yourself.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So now I'm asking, what compliment does people give you the most?
Oh, that's easy. My compliment that I get always is that I'm funny.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You're funny?
Yeah.
Do they mean looking or in personality?
Humorous. Entertaining.
Yes. Like I have a hilarious personality, apparently. So that's a nice compliment. I'll take that. Making people laugh is a great joy.
People laugh at me when they see me, you know.
So you're funny by the way you look.
What?
You said people are laughing when they see you, so you look funny.
Yeah, that was the joke.
I love that. I think that's hilarious. What do they say though? What is your biggest compliment, Lee?
The biggest compliment I ever get is I don't ever get any compliments actually. Nobody ever compliments me.
Oh, stop! I compliment you all the time.
Yeah, but that's different. I suppose a lot of people, I have to say this, and Mr. Eric will be really annoyed with me for saying this, but I get lots of compliments about my hair. People say my ash blonde hair, and when it's down, when I've got my best dress on and stuff, it looks beautiful. It's so wavy and curly and soft and gentle, and you can run your fingers through it. That's what people...
Is your power in your hair like Samson? Like, is that... Is that
well,
where your power
yeah.
lies?
Yeah, me mate Hercules, right? He's unchained now, and we actually do go around and push the odd temple down and things like that together. Nice. But I can't do it if I've got my hair tied back.
That's true. It weakens you.
Do you see how I got Hercules unchained in there? That was quick, wasn't it?
I love it. I
Where did that come from?
I don't know, but I love it. Just go with it. Go with the improv.
Did you remember that film? It was the most outrageously awful film ever. We're going back to 1957 or something,
hey, you
aren't we?
Two, that's nothing to do with my question.
Ah, you're right, sorry. Yeah, you're right, yeah. Hercules Unchained, gorgeous hair. What compliment do you get then, Petra?
I get loads, you know, Mrs. Perfect and everything.
Yeah, that's not a compliment. That's sarcasm.
No, we'd rather move to another question. If you could choose your nickname, what would it be, Rachel?
Oh, wow. If I could choose my nickname, it would be...
Hard.
Vladimir. It would be Vladimir.
Who?
I don't know, I just put the name at random.
Olga Vladimir, where's that come from?
I don't know. What's up?
Okay, we're going to get her out of this misery. Lee, what would your nickname be?
My nickname? Well, when I used to be a Hell's Angel, this is true. I was the only Hell's Angel in Manchester who didn't have a motorbike. And so I used to, like, there was the Bear. People like called Bear. There was Jeff the Peth. I can't explain why he was known as that. There was Squirrel. And people, all that. And my nickname, right, in the Hell's Angels, and it stuck with me, my Hell's Angel nickname was Daffo the Dill.
Daffo the Dill, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I still call myself, particularly if I'm in Wales, on a hill.
I want to be an ice skater who's called Blades.
Blades, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what would you be called, Petra? Girl on a motorcycle, what would you be called?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
When I was little, my brother used to call me Seal.
Seal?
Why? Yeah.
Because she used to flop around on her belly.
No, because I was lazy.
Oh, that's very cute, though.
Oh, wow. Lee, how old were you when you had the worst haircut ever, and what style was it?
I suppose the worst haircut I ever had, and we have touched on them, I did actually have a mullet when I was about 21. It was at that time when people like George Best, who I used to drink with because of my job, and people and a lot of footballers, Frank Worthington, and they all had these kinds of haircuts. So like a knob, I went and had my hair cut like them. And see, the problem was, as you know, I'm 6'5", and so with a mullet, and then I used to have to wear one of these really tight tank tops that, you know, with no sleeves in it and stuff like that, and platform shoes. So I was actually 7'2". I couldn't hide my mullet in any way, shape or form. I was above everybody.
Rachel, what about you?
We all know the 80s has got a lot to answer for in terms of fashion and hair, etc., and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I had the stock standard, think circa 88, 89, Kylie Minogue Neighbours.
Yeah.
That haircut. Everybody had the same haircut. Everybody's hair was permed. Everybody's hair was permed, and we had it slicked back on the sides and really high up top in the front and on the top. It was in five cans of hairspray each time you did your hair with a hairdryer while you're blasting hairspray into it so it would sit like a rock.
I know. Here's another one then, and this didn't happen to me that long ago. This is about 10 years ago, no longer than that, about 15 years ago. I was actually connubialing with a hairdresser at the time, of the female persuasion, not of the male persuasion. And I had really long hair, as I have now, and she wanted to do my hair. And so what she did was a bit bizarre. She put all my hair up in on the top, like held it like I was being suspended, like a doll being suspended by its hair. And then she shaved off all the underneath hair. So
yes.
I was bald. It was like I had a massive big purple comb over.
Yes, the undercut and the shaved undercut. That was a massive thing in the 80s. Heaps of girls at my school had it. I never was game to do it.
What was the point of it?
I don't know, because you can't see it unless you put your hair up.
Unless you're in the wind, and then it looks like you're bald. You've just combed over 8 foot of grey hair.
Yeah, and what they do here, they actually do only half of your head this way.
What are we still doing? Oh,
yeah, you still see some people doing it.
God bless them. Bless them. Yeah. You got to do it's trendy, though, and have, you know, not quite bald, but shaved back really short, and then a pattern cut into it, like a pun.
Yeah, I've cut into it, yeah, like an insult for your neighbours and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, weird. Moving on. We had a question about cars, and now I have about plane.
Plane?
Why are there flotation devices under plane seats instead of parachutes?
Well, I could give a serious answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
Right, on a plane, there are like 8 exits. Right, and so say you've got 500 people on a plane and 8 exits, that's 80 people per exit that have got to get out before the plane crashes. And so if you're all standing there taking it in turns each to jump out of the plane and let off your parachute, A, you're going to get tangled up in all sorts of stuff like that. You're not all going to get out. So the simplest thing to do is wait till the plane hits the water, jump in that last second, ladies and gentlemen. As that plane hits land or water, just jump very lightly and then you won't feel the impact, right? And then you get your flotation device out. And then you float off to a new life.
Okay.
It's a very good answer.
Yeah. It's a good answer.
It's exactly what I would have said and was going to. And now I have no answer. Because
I'll ask another question.
Well, then, this is for Rachel.
Yeah, so we had cars, we had planes, and now I'm going to ask about boats. Ooh. How do they get those boats in those glass bottles?
I know the answer to that as well.
This is one for Rachel. You shut up.
I don't know much about this because I watch a lot of television and I don't do other things.
Okay.
But I'm going to guess. And I'm going to say it's actually not – you have to throw it in the bottle unassembled and then build it with little tweezers.
What a load of rubbish.
But usually they're a lot bigger than the, you know, the neck of the bottle.
Yeah, do you want me to tell you how to do it?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
This is true. This is a top tip for the ladies and gentlemen at home. If you want to build a boat in a bottle, this is how you do it. A ship in a bottle. One of the most incredible antics that have ever been perpetrated on this world by sailors, dear. And what they used to do was make the model of the boat, right, first. They'd lie the sails and the masts down flat on the carcass of the boat, slide the boat inside the bottle, then with a bit of twine, pull the sails and the whatever those things that hold the sails up are called, pull the masts up into the upright position. Lo and behold, you have a boat in a bottle.
That's brilliant. That's so clever.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're going to try it.
I'm it.
Don't worry, Rachel. We're going to try it.
You're going to try it?
Yeah.
Try putting Rob in a bottle.
No. Another question. If it's 0 degrees outside today and it's supposed to be twice as cold tomorrow, how cold is it going to be?
-6.
I don't know. That's a maths question.
I just did it. I just answered.
No.
-3.
How comes? It's 0. Times 2.
Oh, I thought you said it was 3.
No, it's 0 degrees.
It's your accent, I'm afraid. I'm afraid, Petra.
Well, it's your accent. I don't know. It's going to be cold anyway.
It is a bit chilly.
Yeah, it is cold. I can't answer this question because I live on the face of the sun and I have no frame of reference.
Yeah, I agree with you. No, it's a really interesting. I've got to say, every question you've asked has been really, really interesting. So it's -9. And it's going to be twice as cold tomorrow. Mm-hmm. No, because that's the minus point. That's your meridian point, isn't it? So it'd be minus two.
Ha ha! Yeah, actually, that sounds like it makes sense.
You have no idea.
It's still going to be cold anyway.
I just made it up as well.
I love it. I think it's brilliant. I think we should take that answer because that sounds like it makes sense to me.
I think that means Rachel wants to move on to another question.
Yeah, and because she couldn't answer this question, so she's going to be the one answering this one.
Go on then. Okay.
What is the first thing you notice about someone when you first meet?
Oh.
Their handshake.
Do you? Mm-hmm. What if they haven't got shakes? What if they don't drink?
When I am a handshaker. I like to shake someone's hand when I meet them.
Yep.
And I notice their handshake, especially in men, because if men shake my hand like I'm a 75-year-old granny and grab me by the tip of the fingers and just kind of wail my hand around, a little clammy and disgusting, I think, you insipid man, I don't like you straight away. I don't like you. I don't trust you, and I think you got something to hide. And but if you will meet my eye and shake my hand, don't break it, but firmly shake my hand, then I think there's something to that handshake, and I'd like to have a conversation.
I agree. That's a good answer. But the thing is, and I'm not being base here, but it is the simple fact of life, and nothing will ever change this, that the first thing that men notice on a woman are her accoutrements. And I have it on good authority from women that I have discussed this with. Women are not averse to recognising the accoutrements of a man either.
That's true. The other thing I notice about somebody is their eyes, because their eyes you can tell a lot about somebody by their eyes and their shoes too, by the way. Yeah. But if you look at somebody's eyes, I think you can get quite a picture.
In their eyes, a picture. You can. That's right. So you look at... I think you're right. As a man, you probably look in the sort of chestal area before you look at the or aural area.
Yes.
I won't pursue that on the female side because I have a good authority that I am not far off on that. And then I think you look at their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're going to meet, you shake hands. And that's it.
Smile
sweetly. Yeah. And then you look at the teeth, see if they've got any.
Yeah, and what sort of nick they're in.
Yeah, if they've been nicked. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just about the same like Rachel. It's really the handshake. I hate when somebody just so...
Yeah, it's horrible. It's like shaking hands.
It's like as if they are scared even touching you. It's horrible.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, and greasy.
It's like, oh, you're just a little girl and I don't want to hurt you. Or it's like, ew, I don't want to shake hands.
Oh,
that's
I'm sweaty.
And I shake hands with women or, you know, like that. It's like, you know, it's like meeting a fish.
But eyes and a smile, it gives away quite a bit also.
Don't you see when people, just before they shake their hand, wipe it off on the trouser leg before they shake hands with you.
They usually do it after.
Have you been doing it before? Do you think I want to shake your hand now?
Okay, guys, it was really nice talking to you, but we are just about to finish the second half.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, okay, well, that's really
so
good.
So you better all both say bye for now.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening. It's been wonderful. Bye-bye.
And cheers to all the people up in Flymouth, Queensland, Survivor ITA. Bye.
Bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.